Hello and welcome to another Fine Mez. I'm your host, Tom Lemon, and it must be a blue moon because we've got a full house today. Hello, George.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Victoria. How are we feeling today?
Hi, Tom.
I'm all right. I'll defer to Victoria.
Almost human again.
Yeah.
I said to Ali yesterday, I am never going to go out for drinks with contacts on a Tuesday, have an awards dinner on a Wednesday, and then try to go to a conference all day on a Thursday again.
Yes. No, that doesn't sound wise. We are, of course, talking about our European Securitization Awards, which happened last Wednesday. It was great. It was sponsored by Lenvy as well, and they had a great time. I think everyone had a great time, really. I think it was certainly our biggest one yet, and it also felt like the booziest as well. Would you guys agree? This was your second, George, right?
It was my second, yeah. Well, last year I was a bit of a kind of timid lamb to the world of securitization.
I think it's hard to know if that's what creates the sort of sense that it was very, very boozy, because obviously, you know, 3 years ago I was a timid lamb as well, and but I just felt like everyone's running around, like, had some French guys asking me for trophies at the end of the night, trying to steal things. I was like, what are you guys? And he's like, I've got to bring something back to the wife. I was like, what are you doing? You don't work for this. Like, it's a trophy. It's not yours. And they were trying to nick them.
Maybe they have the same problem as what was said in our Lifetime Achievement Award speech, that his children were actually doubting that he was not working for the Secret Service. But now, finally, after like 4 decades or so, he has a trophy to bring home.
Yes.
To be like, yes, actually, it's a real thing.
Yeah, so we had the two sort of personal awards, shall we say. So first up, there was the Outstanding Contribution Award, and that went to Janet Oram, who's from USS. She did a lovely speech. Hers was for, you know, she's like a lot of these sort of big figures in the industry have been incredibly important in terms of advocacy work for securitization in Europe. But she's also managed to set up USS as a proper ABS investor since she joined a couple of years ago, I think. And then on the other side, we had the Lifetime Achievement Award, which, we did say to Janet, you're not old enough to win that one yet. But Steve Gandhi, formerly of Santander, he retired a year or so ago. What did he say? Not too bad, or I think I done pretty yeah, well, was it?
Work, yeah, done pretty well or something. Yeah. I done pretty well?
Yeah, it was nice.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. There we go, right, yeah.
which now reveals how sort of uncultured all three of us are, because it was a quote from a very famous opera singer, apparently.
Well, I actually live, my parents actually live next door to a world-famous opera singer. I should have gone over to Steve and told him that little tidbit to sort of impress him, but I forgot. he's a bit too perfect. So he's this world famous opera singer. He got knighted, and then he married a beautiful Spanish woman who was also the former principal dancer of the Royal Ballet. So, you know,
sure.
No pressure on the kids, eh? but anyway, right, now that
the
we're
only
not...
kids were like, parents are not going to be proud if they just become doctors.
Yeah. But I suppose now that we're at least not properly hungover, it's been a bit of a tough week to be writing that much. But George... what has been going on in ABS this week?
Yes, yeah, it's been a great week. I mean, clearly they were undeterred by the need to fly to London for securitization.
Not yet a market-stopping event, is it?
Although I'm not sure we have. I mean, there's still sort of some deals left to price. Yeah, it's been It's been almost sad not to write more about it, but it does mean plenty of podcast exclusives for the keen listener, always rewarded.
So what deals have we had?
Taking the Euro market first, we've got Greenstorm, which, you know, it's Obvium, subsidiary of Rabobank. Classic Prime Dutch RMBS shelf.
With an ESG label as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it's ended up very tight, very healthy demand, very tight pricing. I think quite a fair way inside the last deal as well from Aegeon, newly taken over by ASR. I think it ended up at 38 basis points over 3-month Euribor, but either way, I mean, it's an extremely tight print. And then we've also had two Italian consumer deals. Both of them have been really heavily in demand as well. I think I just saw, just as we record this, a book update of over $1 billion demand on Sunrise, which is, yeah, indeed, a book update of over $1 billion demand, which is kind of unheard of for an Italian.
How big's the transaction, or the issue size?
It's about $300 million, I think. So it's more than three times covered, yeah, and they've tightened it a lot. I mean, these deals are pricing. I mean, someone called the level last year, the same deals came last year, the Marzio deal and the Sunrise deal. Someone called them a bit wide last year. They were 100 or something. This year, the Sunrise, as we speak, has just been tightened to final spread set at 80 sharp. So I think it speaks to something that we've seen more broadly, which is the wider end of the market has come in a lot this year. You know, we've seen it in UK buy-to-let. We've talked about it extensively in that market and UK non-conforming and similar. And now we're seeing it a bit more in euros as well.
Why is that?
I mean, I think there's a few things going on. Maybe a bit of a lack of supply, a kind of overall improvement in sentiment, like maybe a bit less risk, and then kind of some investors having kind of newer cash and more inflows and that kind of thing.
And then on the sterling side, had a busy week as well.
Yeah,
right?
Reasonably. We had this legacy refinancing of one of the Stratton deals that I've written about, the kind of interesting bits of that, so can read that on the website. I believe New Day are out with one of their credit card master trusts, so that will be pre-priced next week, I think. And then, of course, no episode of Another Fight in Mez would be complete without Stock and Drop.
We got the drop! Finally!
We have indeed. I mean,
although did you see Chris and Nationwide, they won an award, didn't they, for the Stock and Drop. Is that correct?
They did, yeah. I mentioned the podcast in the run up to announcing the win.
Yeah, I mean I think they would just deserve an award for like most mentioned on the Global Capture podcast.
Sadly, Snooze Drag was not available.
Yeah, nobody needs to be aware.
I saw
the arbitrage. Can
I
win
saw
award
Chris
next year.
Shen. I saw Chris Shen on LinkedIn. He posted a photo of himself and his colleague accepting the award, and I don't know if there was just a lack of choice, but he didn't look particularly happy to have won in that photo. And I considered making a sort of silly comment on his LinkedIn. I thought, nah, I'll save it for the podcast so that maybe if he listens, he'll get annoyed.
Yes, we do indeed have the drop, the long-awaited drop, but pricing isn't until next week. So it's not, in fact, the speediest of pricing.
But wasn't that like, that was the whole point, right? So that they don't, they're not like under pressure to rush to the market. They can basically take months.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that they're taking a kind of normal amount of time to actually get the deal priced, or maybe even they're giving themselves plenty of time on that side. But, you know, it's still quicker than having to do all the structuring and that kind of thing. And I think for this first drop, like one thing that is important is gaining the confidence of investors, getting them used to how this process is going to work, And kind of showing them like what the idea is, basically. So if they give them plenty of time, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, because it isn't just as simple as investors are really happy that you're going to time the market perfectly so that they have to pay up for it. but haven't they? They've also just bought Virgin Money Nationwide, right? So they've had a very busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, so they haven't. It's not 100% confirmed, but they've put out an announcement that they're considering making an offer for Virgin Money, kind of thing. And it would just be the latest in this kind of wave of consolidation in UK banking on Nationwide Building Society, UK mortgage lending, shall we say. Nationwide yeah. will, of course, remain a building society. As for what it means for RMBS, they both have their own shelves. So Virgin Money has Lanark, which it has through Glidesdale subsidiary. And Nationwide obviously has Silverstone of Stock and Drop. So we'll have to wait and see as to whether Lanark starts stocking and dropping.
Well, that's one way to get market participation.
buy them all. Yeah, I've also got my eye on this takeover for another reason, which is Clydesdale is one of only three Scottish banks to issue its own banknotes, the others being Royal Bank of Scotland and Bank of Scotland. In England, it's only the Bank of England that issues banknotes. But Clydesdale banknotes once protected me from a mugging because I had one. And the mugger was like, I was like, give me all your money. I was like, sure, here's a tenner from the Bank of England. He's like, thanks. And here's a fiver from Clydesdale Bank. And he was like, what is that? And I was like, wow, it's Scottish bank. It's legal tender. And he was like, no, I don't want it. You can keep it. So I got my fiver.
I don't want your bloody Scottish notes. Wait, no, you must not have been in Scotland because the Scottish mugger would have taken
I was in London, yeah. And I mean, you can't even spend them in shops, let alone you can't give them to muggers either. So you've got to stay in Scotland with your Clydesdale notes. So long may they continue to print them if any representatives of Nationwide are listening to this.
It's like an episode of Oh, God. George, now, that explains why you, to this day, right, you only ever carry Scottish tender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He didn't learn karate. He learned that Scottish notes don't get you mugged.
So tip for anyone
I think it
who
depends on
to.
Like how many listeners we have in the underworld. If they're about to catch up.
Yeah. The secret's out.
Well, thank you for that interesting story, George. If you want to read the slightly more boring but probably the most informative story, that is on the website, and that's called Nationwide to Put Stock and Drop to the Test. Unfortunately, we do not publish George's musings about his muggings. But anyway, Victoria, CLO World, like you said, you went to a conference, but it's also been rather busy.
Yeah.
So what's been going on?
So I went to the Women in Structured Finance conference on Thursday, which was actually brilliant. I was so tired after the awards that I missed the sort of opening keynote speech, which was about the US election, and I live to dearly regret it because apparently it was really, really good. And I think there's a recording of it published somewhere, so get your hands on that. It was so good that they overran by half an hour and nobody was mad. So it's like, that's well, something at a conference.
When you go to these like women in securitization events, I've always sort of thought, God, well, maybe as a journalist I can get away with it. But are they really female heavy?
So there were a few men. But yeah, it was mostly women. I mean, all the panelists were women, and it was...
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, it was just sort of the same female panelists that you see on also in all the other conferences. Yeah. But yeah, it was female-only panels. The audience was probably, don't nail me to it, but it was definitely comfortable, 90% women, I think.
Oh, that's great.
So I think it's probably a networking event.
yeah,
a lot, sort of just like for women to sort of exchange their experiences. I think some people feel a bit torn on these things. Like some people really like them as like opportunities to just sort of relate to other people about like a specific experience that you have based on sort of an attribute that you have that a lot of people in the market don't. Whereas some others, I talked to one woman who's not going to them sort of like quite purposefully being like, I think those girls like are doing well without like having an event without the boys. So I think it's always quite interesting. I thought it was great. Like there were just really interesting panels. There was a really brilliant panel on CLOs. It was held on background, so I can't like sort of quote from it, but it was just a really spectacular panel where just like people were discussing with each other and actually having really interesting views. And I was just taking notes and a lot of things that I'm going to ask anybody about in the next few weeks. So I thought it was generally really good.
No, it's always interesting to see those events. I mean, like you said, there's always that risk of it feeling like a bit of an echo chamber, like you're talking, you know, it's an event for women in securitization. I guess the idea is to benefit your career, but
yeah, but also there's, you know, enough
men are
conferences
part of your career
that are just like 100% men. It's not like they're creating
exactly,
like a different
exactly.
strain of the market. They are like trying to overthrow anything. It's just, I mean, it would be the same if you, had people of color in securitization markets, women in securitization markets, maybe LGBTQ people. It's just if you have an attribute that, like a certain characteristic that not a lot of people share, but that does actually impact your experience. It's just nice to get together with other people and talk about your experiences support each other. I don't think there's like a huge echo chamber problem. Not a worse echo chamber than if you have like sort of like a 95% white male event.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard for me because I don't know what it's like. I've only ever been to events with egotistical maniac white guys. So,
Maybe you should actually come to the Women's Structured Finance ones.
Yeah, probably.
CLOs.
But
yes,
aside from that,
actually CLOs. Yeah, we actually also had quite a few deals this week. A few of them I managed to cover in sort of dedicated articles. A few others just influenced my weekly story. It's still quite busy and people are still pushing spread slightly tighter. There's sort of like, it feels like every deal is trying to get one more base point. So for the past 2 weeks, everything was pricing mostly in like a range from like 148 to 150 base points. This week we had Ares pricing a new deal and Credit Suisse Asset Management resetting a vintage one, both at 147. I sort of hear rumors that somebody might be out there. So don't have like direct confirmation from them, so maybe just don't say the name. But I hear that somebody is pushing for like 145 even. But on the other hand, sort of outside of those numbers and conversations I'm having, I feel like there's a certain fatigue setting in with investors. We've had quite intense issuance. We're like up to 10 billion for the year to date, 10 billion euros. There is still like, I don't know, I know of like 9 or 10 names that are still in the pipeline with deals. We had like, we were basically having like sort of like 3 to 5 deals pricing every week. But a few people have priced twice by now or are plotting their second deal for this year. And one of those managers has said that there is sort of a significant drop in investor interest. Whereas the first one, you very easily got everything covered and like the AAAs were falling over themselves to get in there.
Is there a lot of US investment interest, like, or has there been this year?
I think there's some.
Because those spreads, that means it will stop, right? I mean, US spreads on the BSL were like 152, 153 at the moment. And in the US, the BSL new issues they're actually at year to date going at a faster pace than they were in 2021.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal.
And
we expect that to slow. Everyone expects it to slow. I mean, it's not going to be, I think you'd need about 250 billion in new issues for that to match 2021. And people think it's going to be more like 110 billion. But it just shows you that if there is a bit of a crossover, people are probably getting pretty full up now.
Definitely. I think there was sort of some US bank interest. I'm not sure if it was as much as people sort of like made it out to be at the end of last year when everybody was like, oh yeah, they're coming back. But yeah, there was definitely some. So yeah, like that might be waning away. Just sort of everybody who had like fresh allocations at the start of the year might slowly have attributed those. Yeah. I think for a little bit, at least one banker said that CLOs were also benefiting a bit from ABS market being a bit slow for quite a while. So if you need to allocate your money, you like have a bit more to spare to like look at CLOs. But now that seems to be over if I listen
not
to you.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, exactly. There were also some investors who said they're really busy just to stay invested in existing deals because there are so many refinancings, resets, reissues of sort of the 2022 deals, and then also a lot of refinancings in the loan space. So you might have to sort of keep tabs on what kind of portfolios the managers you already invested in have. So they're just quite busy. One put it saying like we're running just to stay in place. So there might also not be that much capacity to look at a lot of new deals coming in.
So
spreads are getting wider then?
Maybe a little. I feel like it's quite a boring time in the market when it comes to spreads maybe coming up, because I think we're going to stay pretty range bound, sort of what I feel sort of from all conversations I've had in the last week or so. I would expect us to just stay in this range of 145 to 150. Even investors though say that there is not much of a case for spreads getting a lot wider because the macro environment is still looking pretty good. Employment is high, companies have been resilient, the loan market is still really tight, so you can't go too wide on the CLO side. I think we've sort of found a balance there for the foreseeable weeks.
So if the tightening's over, what are they focusing on?
I think that amortization speed of vintages is still something that people really look at. I wrote about it a couple of weeks ago, like at the start of the year, that amortization speed would be an important theme. And this week, Deutsche Bank put out some research that I also covered in an article on Tuesday, I think, where they increased their forecast for this year from they were predicting 10 billions of repayments of CLOs, and now they've increased it to 15 billion euros, which, you know, that would be an additional 5 billion euros to be washed back into mostly AAA investors' pockets. Like, that could fund quite a lot of additional CLOs. And a lot of investors were quite unhappy with amortization speeds last year, where most managers just tried to stay invested. So I think that's a focus. A few people have mentioned to me that they're sort of looking at that and thinking about that quite a bit. And then something else that's sort of coming up now and then is that CLO managers are struggling a bit on the asset side to put a lot of steps in like loan documentation, because there's so much demands for loans right now. Leverage loan issuance still isn't that high. There's still not that much M&A. We do have a few sort of private credit refinings into BSLs, but we still don't have a wave of supply. But we do have quite a bit of CLO issuance, so there's a lot of demand. Basically borrowers, CLO managers don't have as much power. Borrowers don't have to be very nice to their investors in their loan documentation. Whereas on the other side, if sort of investor demand for CLOs is waning, CLO investors might require a lot of niceties. So it might be interesting, sort of the position of a CLO manager in sort of regards to documentation on both sides. I don't think it's like the one thing everybody's focused on, but I think it's an interesting thing that's sort of going on in the background at the moment.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow. The main story Victoria wrote this week is called Euro CLO Primary Conditions Near Peak with Investor Fatigue Set to Bite. But I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. Me and you, hopefully, Victoria, are going to the IMN's Euro CLO conference next week. Is that right? So you might even be able to see us both there, which would be
exciting. What a treat.
Amazing. So, yeah, what a treat.
Exactly. If you haven't got your ticket now, you should.
But otherwise, I guess it's goodbye from us. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.